Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Being relaxed when we hear the Word of God, but it's always good to be attentive and ready because the Holy Spirit, through His Word, could say something to you that obviously changes your life. How many has ever had the Word of God and the Holy Spirit say something to you that changed your life? I mean, that's happened so many times in my life, we could just stand here and talk about that. But tonight, I believe that's going to happen. So we're going to be talking about the power of positive confession. We look again in 1 Timothy chapter 6. In verse 12 and 13, it says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." It goes on to say, "I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Jesus Christ, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate." Once again, we notice in these two verses something very significant. And either the word good confession, which is used twice, or confession used once, is mentioned there. It is connected or illustrated by Jesus' good confession before Pontius Pilate. And we've talked about that and talked about not only what he said, how important it is, but what this illustrates once again or tells us that Christ's good confession. And you can't have good confession without words. So his words, his good confession or his words is how he fought the good fight of faith. And it is telling us is how we will do it too. Now I want to encourage us tonight that Christ's example is our example. And if he fought the good fight of faith and had to use his words to do it, then how many know you're going to have to do it? You are not going to win the good fight of faith without the good confession. Okay? And so that means you can't be silent. And this is why you're going to have to be. You know, when we get saved, God is commanding us to be like Him. In other words, He's commanding us to change. If we're going to get His results of what He promised, we're going to have to be like Him. And what I mean by that is a lot of times when we get saved, we aren't like Him. And we can be very shy, we can be very timid, we can be opposite of what the Word says we need to be. But as we renew our mind with the Word of God and begin to do what the Word says, how many know that when you do what the Word says, you are acting like Christ would act? Amen. And so therefore, we are transformed. God would never ask us to do, number one, something that we didn't have power to do, and number two, that would hurt us. And so here, what we are seeing is that Christ's good confession, His words is how He fought the good fight of faith, and we're going to have to do the same thing too. So we cannot be silent with our faith. We have to learn, like Christ illustrates, and this scripture illustrates to us, to have a good confession. And this is actually tells us that the good fight of faith is fought and won by our good confession. Actually, what it is saying is our good confession is how we fight the good fight of faith. In other words, it's how we fight to stay in faith, and it is the stand of faith we take upon the Word of God. We do it all with our words. We do it with our words. Amen. And it is also the good confession is not only how we fight the good fight of faith, but it's how we lay hold of or take possession of eternal life. In other words, all that salvation has provided us, everything that salvation has provided us, everything that is willed by God for us, everything in salvation that has been willed by God for us is going to be possessed by us confessing it. In other words, if we're unwilling to confess it, we won't possess it. For confession always precedes possession. Now, the best example of this is the most important example in the whole scripture. In other words, if we get it on the most important thing, then surely we're going to get it everything else from God the same way. And that's illustrated in our own salvation. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 again, and verse 13, it says, if thou shalt confess, everybody say confess, with your mouth. It didn't say think with your thoughts, it said confess with your mouth. Confess with your mouth. See, you can't be lazy as a believer and win. You're going to have to be diligent and engage yourself the way that God says to do it. He says, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with his mouth, confession. Everybody say, with my mouth, confession is made unto salvation. In other words, with your mouth, confession, your confession of faith of the Lordship of Jesus Christ resulted in your salvation. That's how you got saved. Yeah. Amen. And so how many know that's how you're going to stay saved? Yeah. Amen. How you got saved, the same way you're going to keep saved. And that is through your confession of faith. The Lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen. And then verse 13, notice it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, you cannot call upon the name of the Lord without your voice, without using your mouth, without the good confession, in calling Jesus your Lord and Savior. Amen. So we hear, once again, if we see that confession preceded your salvation, then confession is going to precede everything else that you possess or that's willed by God for us in Christ Jesus. Things are not just going to fall off on our life like ripe cherries off a tree. They come on purpose, and they are going to come with our good confession. Amen. And this is why we're talking about the power of positive confession. And I'll say it again. These verses in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 12 or 13 tells us that our good confession, just like Jesus' good confession, is how we not only fight the good fight of faith, but how we actually lay hold on eternal life. And so we found out this, that confession defined means to agree with or to say the same thing. But not just agree with anybody or to say the same thing as anybody. It means to agree with or to say the same thing that God says. So that is what confession means. Confession, therefore, is simply believing with your heart and saying with your mouth God's own declaration of who He says that you are, what He says He has given you, and what you possess because of your salvation or because of that you are in Christ. Amen. Now, last week, if you were here, you got a handout. Amen. If you did not, we're not going to hand them out now, but if you were not here last week, you did not get one of these, then I encourage you to stop by the info center and get one. Not only did it have the teaching of last week or important takeaways of this series of the Good Fight of Faith, but actually what it had that would be very valuable to you is a list of faith confessions. This is not an all-encompassing list, but you will be well on your way by using these confessions of faith on a continual basis, day in and day out. They're focused around who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, and what you can do in Christ. And how many know that is your good confession? That is the way that you not only fight the good fight of faith, and that keeps you in faith, amen, and causes your stand of faith, but also helps you to possess or lay hold of eternal life and all that salvation has will for you. We're going to make that faith confession a little later on tonight, and whether you have it or not, that's all right. You can get it after the service, but we'll put it up again for all of us to get to it. We'll get there in a moment. Therefore, the good fight of faith begins with acknowledgement and confession of what God has done for us in Christ and our victory because of it. You know, how many know in Christ there is no defeat? There's not win a few, lose a few. In Christ, there's no defeat. Now, you can be defeated, and I can be defeated, but Christ cannot be. And in Christ, we cannot be. And to the degree we understand how to walk and take our place in Christ and take our stand of faith in our place in Christ will be the degree that you and I walk in the victory. Amen. The victory is, we obtain victory through our identification with Christ. In other words, when we take our place in Christ, it means that we are saying what's true about Christ is true about us. And we refuse to back off of that. We're not moved by what we feel. We're not moved by what we see. We're moved by what we believe. We're not asking ourselves how we're feeling. We're telling ourselves what we're believing. Amen. Praise God. And so it's not that you don't have feelings, but to walk by faith, you cannot walk by how you feel or by what you see. And you're not called to walk by, as a believer, you're never called to walk by how you feel. You're not to even walk by what you see. You're to walk by what you believe. In other words, let me qualify that. When what you feel and what you see contradicts what God's word says, then you are to reject your feelings and you are to believe the word of God. I am not saying that you're supposed to drive out here tonight and say, I'm walking by faith and not by sight, and don't look which way, don't look right and left before you pull out. That's called foolishness. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying when your body tells you, or your feelings are telling you something contrary to the word of God, to make you submit to the authority of what your body feels and what your eye sees, when it contradicts what the word says, then you are to put your feelings under or aside, and you are to believe and confess what the word says. In order to possess what the word says, you're going to have to confess what the word says, and your confession or your positive confession is a way that you actually release your faith and use your faith or fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Nothing, listen to these few statements. Nothing will establish and build your faith as quickly as confession. This is the power of positive confession. I so urge every believer to make these confessions, along with whatever other confessions you have, a daily life assignment. Because, I'm going to say it again, nothing will establish and build your faith as quickly as your confession of faith. Amen. Because this is how the word becomes so real to you. You know, it's a part of our faith confession should grow out of what we do with that meditation of the word of God. See, the word meditate means to not only think on, but it means to think and to mutter and to do. Okay? And so what I'm saying is the scripture tells us that we're to meditate on the word of God day and night. And as we meditate upon the word of God day and night, as we think deeply upon the word of God, and then the word also meditate in Hebrew means to mutter or to speak to oneself. You're to be saying what the word says. I am a child of God. You read what the word says. You speak what the word says to yourself. You call yourself that. But day in and day out, from that place of meditation, there comes a bold confession. From that place of meditation and that place of bold confession, you will grow your faith as quickly as any other way. Because you are giving attention to the word, and to the word you hear, that's how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing and understanding. It is your understanding of what you know that is called revelation, and that's where faith is. And then when faith comes, then fear goes. And when faith comes, you open your mouth and begin to declare it. But the good news is your faith confession can also school you and build your faith. And it's designed to do it, school you in faith. And so this is why I say nothing will establish and build your faith as quickly as faith confession. This is the power of positive confession. Confession becomes faith's way of expressing itself. You know, dead faith won't do you no more good than a dead Jesus. Living faith is a faith that is put to work. And this is what faith's confession is all about. And confession becomes faith's number one way of expressing itself. It's not the only way faith expresses itself. It expresses itself primarily in two ways, in word and action. In word and action. If you're unwilling to confess it, you will be unable to possess it. Never forget it. So the confession of your lips that is grown out of faith in your heart will absolutely defeat the adversary in every combat. I'm going to say that again. The confession of your lips that is grown out of faith in your heart. See, it's not just saying it. It's saying what you believe. This is why meditation is so important, because meditation helps you to get the word in your heart. Amen. And helps you see yourself in that word. So you believe that's who you are. And you believe the word. And ultimately, the confession of your lips that has grown out of faith in your heart will absolutely defeat the enemy in every combat. And you will have some combats. And so we either win or lose by the confession of our faith many times. Our success and our victory in this world will be measured by our good confession and the tenacity with which you hold fast to that confession. Because the way your stand of faith is going to be more than you just standing here. It's going to be you standing and not only protecting your faith by your good confession, but releasing your faith by good confession. Many times you have to do both. You have to protect your faith by the good confession, but you're also releasing your faith by the good confession. So I'm going to say it again. Our success and victory in the world is measured by our good confession. In other words, your good confession is what God says, amen, and what we say, what God says about us and what we say about that. We declaring our identity, our inheritance, and our power and destiny, just like Jesus did, is what we have to do. And the tenacity which we hold fast to it makes all the difference in the world. This is why James chapter 1, it said, let any man, when he if he asks for wisdom, if he lack wisdom, let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For the man that doubts is like a wave of a sea tossed to and fro. Let that man think he received nothing. See, you can't be one minute say, I believe in God, and the next minute saying, well, something contrary to that. You can't with one breath say, but my God is going to supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And 10 minutes later be on the phone and say, dear God, brother, pray for me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm probably going to go under this month. See, you just nullified your good confession. And see, we simply will not. We will not possess what God's word said by being double-minded. It's called doubt. It's believing in our heart and saying with our mouth that we can possess what God has for us. So I'm going to say it again. Our success and victory in this world will be measured and determined by our good confession and the tenacity which you hold fast that confession. This is why we are exhorted in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, with these words. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope or our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Notice this, hold fast to the confession. Hold fast to your confession. Yeah. Too few realize or come to ever know that God can be no bigger in your life than you confess Him to be. Let me tell you something. God will never be any bigger in your life than you confess Him to be. See, God can never be any bigger than He is, but He can be bigger to you. And He'll never be any bigger in your life than what you confess Him to be. This is why we are to say the same thing that He says about us, but also what He says about Him. So this is why we need to not only call Him Lord and Savior, but call Him our healer, our deliverer, come on, our redeemer, call our provider. We have to call Him what He is. Amen. Because He will never be any bigger in our life than we confess Him to be. And your faith and my faith will never rise above the level of our confession. Simply put, our faith will never rise above the level of our confession. Sometimes people will say, well, you know, I would never confess that. Well, never say something that the Bible doesn't say, but you should say everything that the Word says. Say what the Word says, because your faith will never rise above the level of your confession. Because remember, your confession is your faith's way of expressing itself. Amen. And this is the reason why many Christians are weak, though sincere, because they lack a bold confession of who they are in Christ. I'm going to say that again. This is the very reason why many Christians are weak, though they are very sincere and genuine, because they lack a bold confession of who they are in Christ. And let me tell you something. What we're not up on, we're down on. And what we are not reminded about continually, we forget. And just because we start it a way doesn't mean we end that way. We may start as a flash in the pan, but how many know that the devil will come with his fire extinguisher with any kind of test, trial, or tribulation and to try to put that fire out on your stove? Amen. And just because you started hot don't mean you finish hot. This is why things like this topic right here is so important. And this is why, one of the very first things that Pastor Debbie and I learned 39 years ago was this very topic. But I realized that as a pastor, I am to teach the whole counsel of the Word of God. So over time, you know, we have to cover topics that you've heard before. Amen. Because this is part of the whole counsel of God, and it's part of what we need. Because if we're going to win, if we're going to know how to fight the good fight of faith and actually win and lay hold on eternal life, then we're going to have to do the same thing Jesus did and have a good confession, but a continual confession of faith. Amen. And so that means this is a lifestyle. This is not something that we learn when we first get saved, and now we graduate from. No, this is something that we build on, and we grow in, and we continue as part of our foundation of faith, and having to know that your house better be built on the right foundation. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, in the right foundation, or part of it at least, is your confession of faith. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, the Amplified Translation, it says it like this. It says, "Inasmuch then as we have a great high priest who is that? Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, he's called the high priest, Jesus Christ, the apostle and high priest of our confession." He is the apostle and high priest of our confession. Now, one of the things that we do not talk very much about that I should even talk more about, is that Christ's present-day ministry at the right hand of God the Father. He is a high priest, apostle and high priest of our confession, of our confession, of our confession. In other words, the words we speak that are God's word are represented before the Father by Jesus Christ. In other words, the Son represents us before the Father. We don't need a mediator of man. We have the mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. And the words we speak that are God's word are represented before the Father by Jesus Christ. That is His high priestly ministry. He represents us before the Father. And when we speak God's word, Christ is saying that it is just like He is saying it. And so this is why He could say, this is why it could say in Matthew chapter 10, He that confesses me before men, I'll confess before my Father which is in heaven. He that denies me before men, I'll deny him before my Father which is in heaven. And so He is an advocate as well. The Bible says, yes, the Holy Spirit is an advocate, but how many know we have an advocate when we sin before the Father? His name is Jesus Christ. That means He's always there, and if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because Jesus is our advocate before the Father, and to say, hey, they are saying, listen to what they're saying, Father. And through that, we're forgiven. We have the best representative. And having to know He can shut the mouth of the lion.
Come on now.
This is why we need to see how important confession is. It's that as much then we have a great high priest, He has already ascended and passed through the heavens. Okay, but how many know if we're talking doubt and unbelief, He can't represent that. But I can tell you who will. The accuser of the brethren, Satan. An adversary. So, but Jesus, who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us what? Hold fast our confession of faith in Him. Amen. And I can remind us again, in Christ and in Him, there is no victory. There is no defeat. There's only victory. Amen. And really, we fight the good fight of faith by identifying with Jesus Christ and His triumph over Satan and in all that salvation has given us. And so that means how do we identify with Jesus Christ? By taking our place in Christ. By taking our place in Christ and His triumph over Satan. What we're saying is, through our good confession, if it means to say the same thing as God says, we're saying the same thing that God says about us that He says about His Son. We're saying the same thing about His Son. We're saying, in other words, we're acknowledging that Christ's victory has become our victory. And that's how we fight the good fight of faith. That's how we identify with Jesus Christ or take our place in Christ. And we say everything's true about Christ is true about me, because I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together except they agree? Amen. So our words unite us with God and His blessings, or they divide us from it. Think about it. Our words unite us with God and His blessings, or they divide us from it. Now, which one is it going to be? How are we going to walk with God unless we agree with Him? So the number one way we're going to agree with Him was our words. If He calls us healed, it would be to our benefit to call ourselves healed. Well, Pastor, I would do that. I have people tell me this, but I don't want to lie. Because obviously I'm laying here in the bed and I'm sick. I got this, I got that, I got the other. So I've stopped saying what the Word said. They didn't say that. They didn't say I'm stopped saying what the Word said, but they said, I don't want to lie about it. I said, well, let me ask you something. Has God ever lied? And they said, well, no. And I looked right at them and said, then saying what God said about you ain't a lie. It is the truth. And it supersedes the fact that you lay in this bed and you got pain in your body. It's a fact you got pain in the body, but you're not lying by calling yourself what God calls you. You're not lying. Matter of fact, you're telling more of a truth than telling me you got pain in your body. You're telling me more of a truth when you say, by Jesus' stripes, I know I'm healed, than you are by telling me the fact that you got pain in your body. I can see you got pain in your body. You can see you got pain in your body. You can see you got those things. But that doesn't mean by confessing the word that you're lying. Confessing the word is saying, I am denying the facts, the ability to remain in my body, and I'm changing it by the truth of God's word. Because I refuse to believe something other than what God's word says about me. And this is how you fight the good fight of faith. How many know facts can't change truth, but because facts are changeable. Some facts are changeable. But truth always change facts. Amen. And so this is why in Amos 3:3 it says, can two walk together except they agree? Well, you're not going to walk together if you're not in agreement. And the number one way you walk together is by the words you speak. And so it's going to be the same thing with God. Our words reunite us with God and His blessing, or they divide us or keep us from it. For the word of God to work for us the way that God intended and for our good, we must agree with God, or we must say the same thing that God says about us. It says, let the weak say, I am strong. Didn't say you deny the weakness. It just says, when you're weak, call yourself strong, because that's how God calls you, and that's how you change the weakness into strength. See, it is a total different way of living, because before you get saved and walk with Christ, you walk totally by your five senses. Totally by your five senses. You walk by what you feel. You walk by what you see. You walk by what you hear. Amen. The world says you walk by your five senses. Your five senses aren't wrong, aren't bad, but your five senses disconnect you to this world that we live in. But it never connects you to God. You can't know God through your five senses. You know God through your spirit and by His word. And so when we get saved, we call to live a totally different way, not by our five senses. And I'm going to say it again. I'm not saying you totally dismiss your five senses. I'm saying you don't live by them. When your five senses contradict what the word says, then you must agree with the word of God. And so for a person to say, well, you know what? I like Pastor Chris's teaching. I like what he said. Listen, honey, this ain't my teaching. This is God's teaching right here. This is God's word. If this ain't just me, I'm teaching you the Bible. Amen. And so this person may say, you know, graciously say, well, I like what the pastor says here, but, you know, I'm not going to make confessions like this because I just don't feel like I have the mind of Christ. I don't feel like I have the faith of God. I don't feel like these things are true. Well, it have nothing to do with feeling, honey. Have nothing to do with feeling. See, you're going to have to, in the midst of the feelings of feeling sick, to say, by His stripes I'm healed, if you're going to be healed. Well, you know what? I'm just a hoping and a praying. You know, I'm just believing that some way, somehow, someday God will heal me. Well, He won't. Because that's not in the Bible that way. It's not in the Bible that way. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to teach us how to receive God's highest and His best. And we got to do it God's way. How can two walk together except they agree? Amen. For the word of God to work for us the way God intended and for our good, we must agree with God or say the same thing that God says about us. So we must come to know that the power of positive confession, in other words, us saying what God's word says, also means that our words create our world and steer our lives. Our words create our world and steer our lives. Now, we don't have time to talk about this in full, but just write it down. How did God create man in His likeness and image? He created man to have dominion over this earth. Now, we know when man sinned, he lost that dominion. Jesus coming back and dying, raising again from the dead, He won that authority back. Upon our confession of our Lordship of Jesus Christ, we have authority. The authority that was lost in the fall, we got that back. In other words, we have a power and authority over all the power of the enemy. Okay? Luke chapter 10, verse 19. The point that I make it is, Jesus did, or God created it as a likeness and image. And how did God create everything? He created everything with words. He created everything. He created this world with words. And he created us the same. He created us to operate the same way, to have dominion with our words. Now, I don't have time to teach all that, but if you're a part of this church, you should know that. James chapter 3, turn that with me. We're going to read it. I said, God gave us a tongue so that we can create our world and steer our life and destiny. The book of James tells us that, you know what a steering wheel is, don't you? If you were going in the ditch, you correct. It gets you in the path from point A to point B in the road. The same thing, listen, with a same way with a rudder on a ship. Little rudder steers a big ship. It's directional. Our tongue works the same way. Our life goes in the direction of our words. And here's what James chapter 3, I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. It says, we all fail in many areas, but especially with our words. It got real quiet in here. Yet, if we're able to bridle the words we say, we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way. There it is right there. Woo! And that means our character is mature and fully developed. Horses have bits and bridles in their mouths so that we can control and guide their large body. Now notice he's given us an example of how this works. Goes on and says, in the same way, mighty ships, though they're massive and driven by force winds, they're steered with a tiny rudder at the direction of the person at the helm. And it says, so the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it carries great power. Just think how small a flame can set a huge forest ablaze. The tongue is a fire. It can be compared to the sum total of wickedness and is the most dangerous part of a human body. It corrupts the entire body and it is a hellish flame, that is, if it's uncontrolled. It releases a fire that can burn through the course of human existence. Wow. This is why I say the power of our positive confession also means that our words create our world and steer our lives. Simply put, the words we believe and speak produce the results of the choice of our words, either for the good or bad. I would say that again. The words we believe and speak produce the result of our choice of words, either for the good or bad. This is why Proverbs 18:21, this is not no small, insignificant subject. This is why Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 said, it says, death and life on the power of your tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You eat the fruit of either the good confession or the bad confession, right or wrong words. Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 37, Message Translation, words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation. Words can also be your damnation. So remember, confession is faith's way of expressing itself. And your confession of faith is designed to create your world and steer your life into the blessing and into the destiny that God has for it. And how many know that God's plan and destiny for your life is only good? Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith God, thoughts of peace and not of evil, that you may have a hope and a future or an expected end. The Bible says in Psalms 40 that God's thoughts towards us are like the sand of the sea, and they're all are good. In other words, God looks at us for good. His plan is good. We may do evil, and the result thereof will be what we sow, and we will reap. But it doesn't have to be that way. And if we find out what God's word says and begin to say it, then it will change the course of our life, because we will believe believe differently. And when we believe differently, we live differently. Why don't we say the things we're supposed to say? Simply put, we either lazy, don't know it, or we don't believe it. So let's change it. This is what we are called believers for a reason. The reason we're called believers is because we're supposed to believe. Believers believe. They're not doubters. Say, I'm not a doubter. I'm a believer. But there's a difference between a believer and a disciple. A disciple is one that's been trained in the Word of God, and they apply the Word of God to their life. They know the Word to a degree that it sets them free. And God didn't call us to make converts or just believers. He called us to make disciples. Well, that went over real big. Praise the Lord. Disciples hear the Word of God on a repeated basis. They get this in them and they begin to do it. And listen, I close with this before we make a confession. And just like Christ's words identified who He was. Remember, we talked about that in other messages. We see His good confession before Pontius Pilate. We looked at those good words. We looked at that times past. We looked at that last week. Different things that He called Himself. I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the good shepherd. And the list goes on. He was continually confessing His identity and His destiny. Yet He shows us, the Bible tells us, this is how He fought the good fight of faith. And this is how we're going to fight the good fight of faith. So I'm going to say it like this. Just like Christ's words identified who He was and stirred His destiny, His words also powerfully broke the powers of demons and darkness over humanity, healing the sick and setting the captives free. So we must remember His good confession of faith caused Him to be victorious. And all of this is what God designed for us to do as well. All of it. Everything Jesus did except go to the cross, it was designed for us to learn by and do as well. In other words, His good confession, what He said, His identity, His words. Not that I only said who He was in the good confession, but remember, His word broke the power of the devil. His word set the captives free. It healed the sick. And I want us to know to the degree that we take our good confession and fight it, and take our identity in Christ, we'll move from not only being and understanding who we are, what we have, but we'll move to the place that we know what we can do. And we'll use our words the same way Jesus did to win the lost, to break the power of the devil off of people's life, to cast the devil out, to set the captives free. Come on. We will use it not only to identify who we are, but we'll use it to destroy the works of the devil off of people's life so that they too can know who God and what God's done for them, who they are, have been made in Christ, and what they can do because they are in Christ as well. That it help you tonight. This is the power of positive confession. Why don't we stand tonight and make a faith confession together? I've got my hand out here. Come on, Brother Ryan. Thank you. Amen. We're going to say this together tonight. Amen. I'll give you a moment to stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Say it like you mean it. Say it with your heart. Say it, mean it with your heart and say it with your mouth. Say it together. I am a child of God. I am a new creation. Say it with me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. I am delivered and forgiven. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I have power, love, and a sound mind. I have the mind of Christ. I have eternal life. I have the faith of God. I have the love of God in my heart. I have authority over the powers of darkness. I hear God's voice and I'm led by His Spirit. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. Thank you, Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror because of you. Hallelujah. Now, who's that true for? That's true for you, isn't it? Lift your hands and thank Him tonight.